God loves us so much. Father loves us so much. Jesus loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. That's not the only thing. What we've been looking at, is John 15. It's been bringing some in. But before we do that, I just want to say that God loves us wherever we are. And right now, Mike's on. We can't see him. He's got his picture off, but that's okay, Mike. He can hear us. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit, not only moving in this place, but moving on all in every place where people's on Zoom, that the Holy Spirit moves into touch, to minister to bring restoration, to bring healing, to bring peace, and to bring joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We were looking last week, weren't we? Yeah, four steps or baskets. No fruit. Fruit. More fruit. And much fruit. We looked at the first three baskets. Once again, let us remember that we didn't choose God, but God chose us. And he chose us for what purpose? To bear much fruit, yes. There was one or two said it. Yeah, he chose us to bear much fruit. But not only that, that fruit will last. Yeah, I think that's real encouraging. When we get fruit in the fruit bowl, depend upon how hot it is how short it lasts. But for us, God's saying the fruit that we bear is going to last. Well, I can get excited about that, but never mind. Yes. God picks us up when we're down. When we're mucky, he washes us off with his word. He supports us and he gives us another chance. He knows what's best for each one of us and he's set some rules in place. You know, when and if we go against those rules or break those rules, it's called sin. We all know that because we all do it. God takes steps to get us back on track. And we see in several places in the Old Testament, if you look at Jeremiah 17, and verse 24, and it shall be, if you will heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. But if you do not heed me to hallow the Sabbath, such as carrying the burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem, I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Yeah, hang on. That's simply for doing work on the Sabbath. Your God says, look, I give you the choice. You can do work, and the city's going to be ruined. If you don't do work, we've got eternity, you know, we've got a long life and it's going to be prosperous here moving forward. We know in Deuteronomy 28, blessings or curses. We know that. And there's a great long list of curses, isn't there, for not doing what's right before God. Jeremiah 18, verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. God says, you're in my hand. I can do what I want with you. You know, I can pick you up or I can pull you down. God wants the very best for us. And we turn over and we see in Jeremiah 19, a prophetic enactment. Jeremiah is told to go and buy a pot. And he buys the pot and God tells him he's got to smash it in front of them and tell them this is what he's going to do to the house of Israel if they continue doing things wrong. Yeah, you go into the New Testament. We've got a very dramatic warning, don't we? Consequences in Acts 5. We all know the story about Ananias and Sapphira. Think, well, hang on. They gave some, yeah, but they lied. They said they'd given the whole amount of the field into the pot to be distributed. When they hadn't, they'd given some back. And they're told, look, it was yours in the first place. If you just wanted to give a portion of it, that would have been fine and kept the rest. But why lie to the Holy Spirit? Lying to the Holy Spirit has consequences. But through discipline, God changes us and we move from no fruit to fruit. As we do as God tells us, he moves us on. It's a progression. It's not usually achieved in one go or instantly. When we're called to obey God, we sometimes make excuses, don't we? For wrong behavior or wrong attitude. A classic is, well, it's the way I was brought up. It's my parents' fault. It goes back to my childhood, you know. I know no different. Or, I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm not really hurting anybody anyway. And God wants us to enjoy ourselves. Yes, he does. But he wants us to enjoy ourselves in the framework of we go back to the vine, in his framework, or back to the vine, on the supporting wires or canes of the vine. The disciplines that God puts in place moves us to produce fruit, from no fruit to fruit. That's as we get rid of certain things, stop doing certain things, or the word to use is we repent, as we turn away, as we repent. But then we come from no fruit to fruit. Even when we're bearing some fruit, it doesn't stop there. Because God wants us bearing more fruit and bearing much fruit. So we move into a process of pruning. God loves us so much that he wants us fruitful. And he wants more fruit from us. And our desire should be to be fruitful. Why? It tells us in Scripture, as we are fruitful, we glorify God. That should be our goal, to glorify God. To move from more to much, it's only achieved when we allow God to freely move and do his way, and do his thing. When we look at the vine dresser, if we were watching with an untrained eye, we would think the dresser was damaging the vine, ruining any chance whatsoever of having a crop, because he prunes hard and he cuts back. We could say, well, this is God taken away. Yes, initially there is a loss in pruning, but God knows exactly where to cut to be fruitful. Going back into a garden analogy, you've got to get rid of the dead wood. Look at the raspberries. You cut out this year's cane, don't you, for the new growth to come to be fruitful. What do you do with the roses and other flowers? You deadhead them. That's to keep things moving. You cut back or when you're pruning, you cut back to just past the bud. And when you look at pruning roses, it's deadheading through season, but for next season, it is cut back. And you think, whoa, you've killed it. Because they're left about this high, aren't they? From being up here. Think, whoa, what are you doing that for? But that's what it's about. And God knows that's what he's doing with our lives. At times we may think, hang on, he's chopped too much off. No, not at all. Cutting back, pruning, stimulates. Discipline is all about sin. Turning from, moving forward without the burden. Pruning is all about self. God asks you to let go of the things that are keeping you from his kingdom purposes and keeps us from God's very best for us. It's the pruning that changes our lives from a basket with some to baskets overflowing. It's important we realize the difference between discipline and pruning, because both can be uncomfortable, painful at times. If we're confusing pruning with discipline, it can be so disheartening. We can be thinking, what have I done wrong now? What else have I got to do? I thought I'd done things right. And we can have a lot of soul searching when we haven't done anything wrong at all. When we're disciplined, it's because we've done something wrong and we're not bearing fruit. But God wants us to move from that basket too with a little bit of fruit in to bear more fruit. We deal with the sin when we deal with it, because when we're in a state of being sin, we should be feeling guilty. And our conscience tells us that, doesn't it? We know when we're doing something wrong. And often, we've got to admit it to ourselves. Pruning is when we're doing something right. We're already producing, but God wants us more. And we've got to lay down different things that God tells us. We've got to trust God. We've got to release some of the things that we've got and we're doing that we hold dear sometimes, and give God permission to have his way. Pruning is ongoing, and it only stops when God is finished with us. And you know something? Cheer you up much. But God, our growers, prune the vineyards more intensively the older the vines get. Have you click there with the analogy? Yeah, something to look forward to. But something else to look forward to. A vine's ability to produce fruit increases each. But that analogy, our ability to produce fruit increases each year. Yes, the pruning might get more intense, but the ability to bear fruit increases. If we weren't pruned, the plant weakens and the crop diminishes. Put that into our analogy. What happens when we get complacent? What happens when we think, I'm going along fine, this is grand, I'm doing everything right now, so we'll just keep on that level? We're not going to keep producing to the intensity. God wants to keep going. First stage pruning is about outward activities and priorities. How do we spend our time? What's the priority? This over that. Mature pruning is about what are our values? What's our personal identity? Who we are in Christ? Are we prepared to lay down some things that God tells us? And they'll be different for everybody, so I can't give examples, but we each hold things dear We've each got little cherished things. We've each got little secrets that God says, right, I might want you to deal with that. You know, are we prepared to lay down something we think that is right? Years ago, going back to the world's years, when it came, we were moving in under Hull Christian Fellowship. The eldership of Hull came in, or Paul came in and said, right, the elders here, no longer, you're not elders. You lay that down. You come in under the elders of Hull. Now, you can take that two ways. This is my job. This is my role. This is my identity. Why should I lay it down for them? They don't know what's going on here. We do. We've run this place since it started. We know better than them. Or it's a gate. Okay, fair enough. And we chose the latter one. Okay, it's fair enough. We step down. But you know what? Elders held. Whether you've got a title or not. Whether titles mean nothing. It's the person. It's your character. It's who you are. I don't believe in titles. It's who we are in Christ and what we're called to do. And each one of us are doing different things in Christ. Each one of us are doing different things in the body. And we don't need labels. We don't need pips on our shoulders. We don't need special name badges. You are who you are. And people will recognize who you are. If you're confident in Christ, you're not bothered about your title. Each person's pruning is individual. God knows who you are and what you value the most. And the first commandment, God has tells us that we've got to seek first the kingdom. And the first commandment says, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. And that means everything. For some people, just analogies put into place, some people the God is their house. Some people the God is their car. Whatever, a job, whatever you want to put it. Yeah. It's who do we put first in our lives? It can be very controversial here, but it's true. Do we put our spouse first? Because that's not the right order. God first. Family next. But God is first. When we get that right, things are in the right place. If we get that out of kilter, things are in the wrong place. Love God first. God is number one. That's the right priority. It doesn't mean that when we lay things down, that God's going to take these things away. But it's getting into priority because we're actually saying, God, I look to you first and move on with you. Can God do what he wants with you without you arguing and thinking, well, I know best? Do we spend ages arguing and saying, why does this have to happen? Why do I have to do that, God? God will tell us to do what he sees fit. And our response is to say, yes, Lord, we'll do it. He wants to use us, so we have to let him have his way. And this is one of these big things that how many times have we been taught to be self-assertive? We know best. No, we don't. We know second best. God's best. In Philippians, when we're looking at that, in Philippians chapter 3. Oops, that's the next one. Jackie, can you be ready with the two Peter? Get Philippians turned up. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's writing. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have more confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. There's Paul, the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest examples that we've got, you know, wrote the biggest part of the New Testament. And he's turning around and saying, look, whatever I've achieved, whatever I've got, whatever I've done, I lay it down as rubbish because I want to put Jesus first. He's going to be in charge. He's the one that's there. And then we get at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing on. He says, look, I want to lay these things down. And that's what God wants us to do in pruning. In discipline first, we lay the sin down. But then in pruning, God can be saying, look, there are certain things that I want you to lay down so you can get things moving on with me, so we can become more Christ-like. And I'm going to ask Jackie to come forward and read 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 8. And this is Peter saying, he wants us to be fruitful. He said, well, why am I asking Jackie? Why aren't I doing it myself? Because last week, Jackie was doing communion. And she had one set of scriptures that she actually brought. And she had this one as well. But she felt it wasn't right to bring it last week. And I said, that's right, it wasn't. It's for this week. So I'm asking Jackie to bring it now.
Yes, it's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Yeah. Sorry? 2 to 8, sorry. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Am I back? Oh, yeah. Peter is saying, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. So it's not just one person saying it. Right through. God wants us fruitful, and we've got to get hold of that. Yeah. We were looking in John 15, and I just want to pick it up again in verse 4, because it then moves on from the pruning bit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and then gathered from, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and that shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's the key word there? Abide. 10 times Jesus says, abide. Abide in me. Yeah. Abide means to dwell. Abide means to remain faithful. Abide means to tarry with. Abide means not to depart, to continue to be present with. Jesus is saying, look, stick with me. Abide with me. Other places in Scripture are told, be still and know. This is the place God wants us to be, close to him. Jesus makes it clear, without him, nothing can be done. It's his abundance we live in. As the vine is nourished by the sap that runs up through it, it's in Christ that causes our fruitfulness. It's our relationship. Do we really trust God and believe he loves us and wants us to speak to us? He wants us to spend time. He wants us to be intimate with him. Some of these things are alien, but it's for us to get hold of. I've said a number of times, absolute surrender is not about me getting closer to God, but allowing God to get closer to me. Where the barriers are down, where we're spending time with God, where we're listening to God, talking with God, meditating on his word, and the list goes on, but it's really being in his presence. There's nothing more wonderful than being in God's presence. Remember, beginning of the year, was it, where I give you all an infusion? How about having some more infusions? And I'm speaking to myself here as well. You know, it's a case we need to. And we said, if you remember, the beauty of the infusion, it's just hot water goes in. So you've got to wait for it to cool down. And you have to wait longer. So that means you're spending time. Just spending time with God. Working through there. And why should we be doing that? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's in the spending time, it's in the abiding, after we've been disciplined, after we've been pruned, then we abide with God, and that's when the fruitfulness comes in. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So that's, we can abide, we can be there, we can dwell, we can remain, we can tarry, we can continue to be in the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. And the outcome of that is, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. That's what God desires. That's what Jesus desires. That's why all this process is put in place, so that our joy is not a selfish God, he's a selfless God. He died so we could. And he wants the joy. He wants us to be there, the joy being made full. He wants us to be much fruit in the basket. King David understood this. And in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Let's remember this. Our bodies are his temple, and we can dwell with the Lord wherever we are. And he says, "Inquire of me in my temple." John 15:15. "No longer do I call you servants, for a master does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." God wants us fruitful. He wants us bearing fruit. And he helps us in our difficulties. Jesus held nothing back. If there is something we do not know, it's because we have not availed ourselves of what is revealed. But the real problem comes in doing what we already know. Jesus acted on everything the Father showed him. If we would do the same revelation would be made available to us. Are we prepared to be in that place of sitting with God? Just giving him the time. Just as Jesus said, he only did what the Father showed him. So we need to stop and to ask God, what does he want to show us? And the same revelation that was available to Jesus is available to us. Why am I saying that? This week I had a complication. I wanted a new aerial on the caravan, on the camper van for going away. So I set to putting the new aerial on, which meant drilling a hole through the roof. Well, there was already an aerial there in the first place. So I had them marked out, so I just went through there. And as I was working, I went back inside the caravan and stuff, in the camper van, and noticed the lights had gone dim. I thought, oh, the battery's getting a bit flat. So I went and put the electric lead on to charge it up, and poof, all the lights come on the outside of the van and everything. Well, anyone who knows anything about electrics knows that's an earth fault. Whoops, I've got an earth fault. So I thought, have I caught something or not? So I looked at the piece of the ceiling that I'd cut out of the roof. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. It was just a piece of wood and insulation. And I thought, okay, go to YouTube, fount of all knowledge, how do you sort out an earth fault? So I looked at that. Consumer unit, you need to replace it. I'll blow that. I'll have a look at it. Anyway, I went through, and I must have spent, it was 9:45 on Friday night when I came in, from spending hours trying to find this fault, crawling around underneath, looking at the wire and harness, emptying all the lockers out, looking all the wire line. I thought, have I had a mouse chew a wire or something like this? I came in, I had enough. Went to bed as normal. We normally ask that the Lord will minister to us through the night watches. 2:30, Saturday morning, I was woken up with a picture of the bracket that goes through the roof of the camper van. Nothing else, just that. Okay. Went to that on Saturday morning. I'd already dismissed this because I'd already looked at it. I took it to bits completely. When I had to pull the stalk out, a piece of insulation dropped away from the side of the hole. And lo and behold, what's there? A wire that I couldn't see. And bearing in mind, this is a flat roof, steel roof, and you can't see anything from the outside or the inside. And this little bit of insulation had fallen away to reveal a wire. And one of the screws holding the bracket on had gone through the wire. So I could quickly repair it. Less than 20 minutes, the whole thing was repaired, put back together. Everything's working. God knows every single thing if we just ask him and avail ourselves of it. I'd already dismissed it because I checked it. There was no wire whatsoever what I'd cut out. But it was just next to it, which you couldn't see. The naked eye couldn't see. You couldn't sense. And it was when I took it out, that bit of insulation fell away. God caused that to fall away so I could see the wire that was there. So it's there for us. If we'll say, okay, God, I'm open to you. I'm listening to you. I want you to speak to me. Even if it is 2:30 in the morning. It was nice when I got to 9:30 when it was fixed. So, yeah. So let's just stop open. Let's allow God to do what he wants to do with us. Allow him to maybe be hard at times, but let's remember what the outcome of pruning is. It's fruitfulness. Amen.